The book of Exodus tonight, Exodus chapter number 16. If you're glad to be saved, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good to be in the presence of the Lord tonight. My name is Dalton Key. I'm the pastor of the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Cochran, Georgia, and very grateful to be here tonight. Been with you a couple times before, and I used to drive all the way up here just to hear Brother Ledbetter preach. Amen. And I praise the Lord for that. Well, some of you don't believe that. There's just shame on you. Amen. But I'm grateful to be here today. Brother Ledbetter called me yesterday there, and we got to talking, and he asked me to come on and preach since I was in the area. And I thank the Lord for that. Another opportunity to preach, and I do not take it lightly. And I was nervous enough yesterday to propose to Caroline. I had to get nervous enough for this. So if you bear with me, I feel like a log cabin in the middle of a forest fire. Amen. But I thank the Lord for the opportunity, and I thank God for his blessings. God has been good to me, and he's given me everything I never knew that I wanted. Amen. And I'm glad he gave me salvation. I'm glad that he gave me regeneration. I'm glad he gave me the greatest country in all the world to live in. I'm grateful that he's with me each and every step of the way. And I'm grateful that God gave me my Eve. I praise the Lord for that. Amen. And I'm very grateful for all that the Lord will do for us. You bear with me and you pray with me tonight. Pray that God will do a great mighty work. I know that without the Lord, we cannot do anything. Our Lord told us in John chapter 15, verse number 5, he says, "For without me, you can't do nothing." And I've preached without the touch of God multiple times. I think more times than not. And so I don't want to mess up tonight. I want the Lord to be doing a great mighty work over here. Amen. Exodus chapter number 16. And thank God for his many blessings. And I would say I'm very thankful for your pastor being faithful all throughout these years. And it's been a blessing. Y'all celebrated him being here for 10 years. And I tell you what, there's a lot of churches that can't keep a pastor that long. And I'm very grateful for how God used him. I'm very thankful for Brother Larry Wells and what a blessing he's been down throughout the years. I'm very grateful for Brother Joe Bryant tonight. I wish he was here tonight. He's one of my closest friends. And I thank the Lord for him. And I thank God for all that the Lord has done down through the years. Amen. I'll quit rambling. I'll preach to you. How about that? Exodus chapter number 16 and verse number 11. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at the evening quails came, and it came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that was lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents." If God help us tonight, I want to preach on this thought. The manna reminds me of God's word. The manna reminds me of God's word. If God help us tonight, I was studying, I was looking at this, and every characteristic I could find about the manna traced me right back to the word of God. And just like the nation of Israel needed manna to survive, you and I are going to need the word of God to make it in this wicked generation. Y'all pray with us and for us tonight. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you, God, and praise you for another opportunity to be in your house tonight. Lord, I thank you, God, for the opportunity to stand behind the pulpit one more time. Lord, I pray for my people, fathers, back at home. And God, I pray for Brother Williams that's filling in for me tonight. Lord, I pray your hand might be upon him. Lord, I pray that you might be with my people, Father. Lord, I pray that you do great mighty work over here tonight. Lord, I pray for Brother Ledbetter, Father, Lord, as he's going out there on the trip. I pray, God, he has a wonderful time. I pray he'll come back recharged and ready to preach the word of God. Lord, tonight we pray that you take this message and apply it to our hearts. Lord, we know that without you we cannot do anything. Lord, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Lord God, tonight I'm asking you, Father, to do for us tonight what we cannot do for ourselves. Lord, I pray that you might rebuke every devil and every evil spirit in this place. Lord, I pray that you might bind the forces of the devil. I pray that the seed of God's word would go forth in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And Father, all that you please do, we'll thank you and praise you for it. And Lord God, I pray above all things, Lord, if there's anybody here tonight that's never been saved by the grace of God, I pray the Spirit of God would reach down and convict that heart of stone. And Lord, I pray they get saved before it's ever more too late. And Father, we'll shout the victory over it. God will thank you and praise you for all that you'll do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you for praying for me tonight.
All right, well, look here in this passage of Scripture, a few things I want to mention here. Notice within this passage of Scripture, I preached this down throughout the years in different revival meetings at different places, and it's amazing how every time you go to the Word of God, you'll always find something you ain't never seen before. And it's not that you're oblivious, and it's not that it's a coincidence. It's because God's book is an endless well, and it just keeps getting deeper and wider throughout the years. My dad, Brother Reese Key, he's preached here, I think, 25 years ago, many years ago there. My dad's been preaching for almost 50 years, and he made this statement once. He said, I've been preaching for 50 years, and I'm just as dumb as when I started. Amen. Now, that don't mean that he ain't been learning for those 50 years, but he found out, he says, I realize how much I really don't know. I'm glad tonight you could take a history book, you could take any type of biographies, and you could take any kind of newsletters, and you can read them over again, and man, they're eventually going to get old. You've taken everything out of it. You've exhausted it, but I'm glad God gave us something eternal. God gave us something powerful. God gave us something miraculous that can help in this generation. I'm glad God gave us a Word of God. Amen. A couple of things I want you to notice about this passage of Scripture. We're talking about in this passage, God gave His children manna. Now, you know what happened in Exodus chapter number 1 and chapter 2? God's people were in bondage for over the span of 400 years. They were there in bondage without help and without hope. They cried out to God. They asked the Lord to please give them a chance to get out. Now, God did not make those promises to Abraham just for them to stay in Egypt's bondage. I'm glad that whenever God gives us a promise, He will fulfill it one way or another. We don't know when, we don't know how, but if God promises something, He'll never go back on His word. I'm grateful for that. Later on, throughout the process of time, God raises up a man by the name of Moses. And as Moses was there, he was raised up to serve God. He was on the backside of the desert, and there come that fiery burnish, that burning bush came by and spoke unto him. God says, you're going to take the captivity away from Pharaoh, and you're going to do a great and mighty work. Well, you know what happens later on? Pharaoh was like any typical Baptist. He told God no. God speaks to you hard about something, you say, Lord, that's good. Let me pray about it a while. Or if you're Southern Baptist, you just say, Lord, wait another month for the next business meeting. You're welcome. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you something. You better be real careful when God tells you to do something, you tell God no. Because one day you're going to wish you'd have said yes. What I'm saying to you tonight, simply God told Moses to go out there, and eventually, you know what happened? There's the plagues, and there's the judgment and the wrath of God. But then the Lord said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pass over Israel. I'm going to pass over Egypt. And at night, He says, anybody that has blood over the doorpost, I will pass over them. And then in the morning, you'll be able to get out. They took the blood of that lamb. They put it on the doorpost, and the death angel passed over them. And then the next morning, redemption rang out, and they were able to exit out of this world. Can I say to you, there was a time when I was in bondage. There was a time when you was in bondage. But thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ, when we did not have a sacrifice, when we did not have a lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ came down to where we's at and satisfied the need of our heart and set us free from the bonds of prison, and His blood washed away our ever sins, and now we're going to heaven one of these days. Amen. I'm grateful, but until that point, I'm living in Canaan now. I'm enjoying God's blessings now. I'm living in victory now. Hallelujah. Well, we find that is a primary interpretation. We come all the way through over here, chapter 15. We notice what happened. God turned the bitter waters into sweet waters. But in Exodus chapter 16, after they drank all that water, they got to a place where they were hungry. And whenever you get hungry for a long period of time, you'll get hangry if you ain't careful. Is that right? Somebody help me there. We're Baptists, amen. Well, they began to get kind of hangry, and they said, Moses, has God brought us out here that we might die in the wilderness, or is there another plan? I'm glad that whenever you don't know what lies ahead, God always does. I'm glad that God does not have plan B or plan C. His plan was always A from the beginning, and it's going to be all the way home, amen. He goes on, he tells Moses later on, he says, I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. I'm glad that whenever you and I murmur and complain, and when we begin to wonder some things, I'm glad that God listens. Now, there's some times God will turn a deaf ear, and I thank God for that. But I'm grateful that He is concerned with the thoughts and intents of our hearts. As David said, Lord, what is man that thou art mindful of him? I'm glad that God listens to our groanings. I'm glad that whenever we're hurting, I'm glad that He hears. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, they began to cry out to God. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and said, I'm going to bring manna down from heaven. Psalm 78 refers to it as angel's food. He says, I'm going to send it out. You're going to be taken care of. That's a primary interpretation is this. God will provide. I'm glad whenever I need something, he'll always make it. God did not promise to meet your wants, but he promised to meet all your needs. And I'm glad every need that we've ever had growing up in a preacher's home. And you know what I'm talking about? Being in a Baptist church, there's some needs around us. But there's never been a need that God has never provided. Hallelujah. God says, I'll provide for you. That's primary interpretation. Then there's a prophetical implication. Prophetical implication. You say, why in the world did God bring manna out of heaven? God could have just done any other thing and provided for him. God could have bring the quails down again. He could have given them a brook just like he did for Elijah. I'm talking about he could have done anything else. Why does God bring manna down from heaven? Why does he bring bread all the way from heaven? Well, you fast forward to the book of John. There comes Jesus. He's got 5,000 out there that are hungry and have nothing to eat. And then all of a sudden he took the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 small fishes and then began to distribute them. And all 5,000 of them did not just get to eat, but they got filled. You want to know how I know there's Baptists? They got full. Hallelujah. If you don't get full, you just ain't right with God. Diets don't count on the Lord's day. Preach on. Hallelujah. Right? They go on there, and then the Bible says that they ate until they were filled. That means that God did not just provide just for the need right there, but God had extended his mercy and his grace, and their cup was overflowing. And then the Bible says they had 12 baskets of fragments to bring home later on. Well, the disciples are sitting around there thinking, Lord, why did you do it quite like this? And the Lord remembers them, or he reminds them, and he references. He says, you remember there's a day where God's people were in bondage, and they had nothing to eat, and they had no hope. But there was bread that came down from heaven, and whenever they cannot feel the longing of their heart, I felt the longing for them. And later on, he says, I am that bread that came down from heaven. There was a day when you and I were empty before God, was vain, and there was a void in our hearts. But whenever we cannot get satisfied, when the things of the world did not satisfy, when the things the devil gave us did not satisfy, Jesus Christ came down from heaven, and with his fullness we received grace from grace, and he went to the cross, and ever since that day you and I have been satisfied in the service of God. Amen. I remember as a 9-year-old boy growing up in church, Dad was pastoring down in Louisiana. Don't ask why, it just happened. We did it for crawfish bowls. But anyways, we went down there and he pastored just for a few years. There I was as a 9-year-old boy. I grew up in church. This is all I've ever known. This is all I've ever been around. I've never been out in sin, but I knew on the inside. I may have looked religious on the outside, but there was a void on the inside. I'd never been out in sin. I never got out of the house. I never got into all these things, but I knew that as a sinner, I was conceived in sin. I was just as much of a sinner as a drunk on the side of the road, and the Lord dealt with me as a 9-year-old boy and said, son, it's either now or never, and I hit that altar. I don't know what my dad preached that night. I don't know who said what that night. I don't know the songs that were sung, but I know when the Lord saved me, and he took that burden of sin and took it off my back and turned it to himself. I thank God that the Lord is able to satisfy. He took away my emptiness, and he gave me his fullness. Amen. First thing I thought about when I got saved, I said, how in the world could you sit in church like a knot on a log after all that? Amen. I'm grateful tonight that the Lord does that. So that is a prophetical implication. God is giving this to show them what God is going to do. I thank God I know the bread of life tonight. I'm glad that he is the living bread, but just like he's the living bread, he's also the living word. Yes, now, here's the practical application. As you look here, everything that they do to the manna is the same thing you and I need to do with our Bible. Our Bible is compared to bread. Matthew 4:4, Jesus is on. He was on a 40-day, 40-night fast. He was out there in the wilderness. The scripture says when he got out there, Satan came up on him. And understanding he was 100% God, but he's also 100% man. He got hungry out there in the wilderness. And the scripture says Satan came by and tempted him and says, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But then the Lord later on, he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Our Lord had compared bread to the word of God. God could have said, I'll rain birds down from heaven, and he's done that before. He could have said, I'm just going to rain fruit down from heaven, and he's done that before. But here's one thing God has not done up to this point. He did not bring manna down yet. No bread was brought down. So if bread and the word of God has been sometimes used simultaneously, I believe that the same practice is here in Exodus 16. 3 things I want you to notice tonight. I want to say, preach as fast as I can. We can go to the house. I'm hungry already just talking about this. A couple things I want you to notice. 3 things tonight I notice about the manna and I notice about the word of God. First of all, manna reminds me of the word of God because of the perfection of the manna. The perfection of the manna. Verse number 10, the Bible says, and it came to pass as Aaron spoke unto the whole congregation of Israel that they looked toward the wilderness and behold the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses saying, and then we read the verses there, how God heard the mourning. Now notice where the manna came from. The same place that the manna came from was the same place your Bible came from tonight. All I'm trying to do tonight is get you to get back into that book. You realize that's why we don't have revival, and why we don't see a move of God, and why we have a bunch of carnal Christians, and why we got a bunch of babes in Christ that cannot handle the steak. They're just still sucking on that milk. I tell you the reason why that they're doing all of that stuff is because there's a lack of concern about the Word of God and the things of God. And as the book of Hosea says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Amen. However you get in your Bible is going to determine how spiritual you're going to be. A day without your Bible is a day without hearing from God. You want to go 24 hours without hearing from the Lord? You don't want God speaking to your heart? I wouldn't vote on anything in the church unless you spoke with God and unless He's spoken unto you. Listen, I would not darken the doors of the house of God without spending time with the Lord. I tell you, before you get the full meal, it's good to have an entree every now and then. It's good to have an appetizer too, if that's right. And so it's not a bad thing to go ahead and whet the appetite a little bit before you get to the house of God. Amen. And so we pull up and we just treat church like it's a drive-thru and hoping God gives us a fix so we can get through the week. No, it don't work like that. We find here about the perfection of the Word of God. We find this manna was perfected because it came from the Lord. That's the inspiration. Moses got inspiration from God. Manna is not planted. You cannot bake manna. It does not grow on trees. It cannot be harvested by anybody on this earth. This manna only came from God and God Himself. He appeared unto them, then He rained it out of heaven. Can I tell you the same way that they got the manna is the same way the Word of God came down into the earth. There was a time when you and I was hungry before God. We desired something from the Lord. We had nothing from God. But there come a day when the Lord spoke to, it started out with Moses and it ended with John. In 66 books, God came down and He inspired the Word of God. Amen. Preacher, is that real accurate? It is, because your Bible says so. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Your Bible also says in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse number 21, He says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So your Bible is a miracle from God. This is not something man came up with. I love how the atheists go up and they say, well, I don't believe the Bible because it was written by man. Yeah, they believe Charles Darwin. They just crippled too high for crutches. Their cornbread ain't done in the middle. Amen. I'm saying to you tonight, hey, it was penned down by man, but there was a holy God that directed that pen. There was a holy God that spoke to those men's hearts. And so I believe there's 66 books of the Bible, nothing more, nothing less. There's no verse that needs to be added. There's none that needs to be taken away, because what God gives is perfect.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just like the Bible was perfect, this manna was perfect. It came from God. I'm telling you something, there was no bones in the manna. There's nothing that you had to spit out. There's no part of it that they say, well, you got to gut it out first. You have to clean this part out first. You can just take everything. Everything God gives you, you can take it unto yourself. I'm glad I don't have to filter out the Bible. There's not certain parts I believe in. Hey, this Bible does not contain the Word of God, but it is the Word of God. I believe that even the maps are inspired. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm saying to you tonight, thank God. I'm glad that this is an inspired book. Nobody ever came up with it. Listen, the Bible is written by over 40 authors. It was done in the span of 1,400 years, and not one contradiction or one error. Man cannot do that, but there's a God that can.
Amen.
So what's sitting in your lap tonight is a miracle. I think that's a good reason to get into it.
Yes,
that's why I don't have to look at the news media. I don't have to look at CNN. You know what CNN stands for? Communist News Network. It's good, ain't it? I'm saying to you tonight, simply, I don't have to look at all the news. I don't have to worry about fake news. I've got a Bible. I don't have to worry about what's going on in Israel. I've got a Bible. I don't have to worry about what's going to happen to our country. I've got a Bible. Amen. God gave us revelation for a reason. Why don't we open it? Oh, I tell you what, I know how things are looking out today, but whenever the dust settles, our Lord's going to be on the throne. We're going to be by His side. Satan's going to be in hell, and all the imps of hell is going to be down with him. God is still going to reign victoriously. Amen. I'm saying to you tonight, sometimes we just need that reminder, don't we? I'm saying that there's that inspiration. It came from a holy God. Not only is there the inspiration, but I want you to notice the identification. The Bible says later on there in verse number 15, the Scripture says, there in the Word of God, He says, and when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Now God did not call it manna necessarily at first. It was called that later on, but He says, I'm going to give you bread from heaven. Later on, He does end up calling it manna from heaven. But in this passage of Scripture, they didn't have a name for it. They just knew it came from God. And so as they began to go down and as they began to eat of this, they began to call the name. They said, "Man, what is it called?" And they began to call it manna. Now here I am. I was studying this thing out. I love doing word studies. I love to learn the meaning of words. I love going into the Greek and Hebrew and figure out the meanings of them. By the way, you don't need a Greek and Hebrew to understand your Bible, but it is a good way to study it. And I went through and I was looking at some things and looking at the names. And so I went through every commentator I could find. I went through every dictionary I could find. And I said, I'm going to find a deep meaning for the word manna. And after thorough research for approximately 10 hours, you know what I came up with? Here's what manna means. Y'all ready? Prepare yourself now. It means, what is it? I said, you have got to be kidding me. It just means, what is it? I said, now, God, I can see the inspiration of the manna. I can see the perfection of the manna. But here's something I don't see. Lord, why in the world did you have to name this when you told me to study it? I don't see anything from it. God says, no, look again. As I begin to look, you know what you notice? What your Bible says, your book says, it says the Bible. Now, you know what the word Bible means in the Greek? It's the Greek word biblios. It just means the book. Kind of generic, ain't it? Without the in it. You say, well, preacher, it's just called a book. What's the significance of that? When somebody comes by and they say, man, what are you reading? What do you have in your hand? What do you carry to church? Why do you get in that book all the time? And you say, preacher, why is it not just called the Word of God? Why didn't they just call it of the words of the Lord? How did they not just give it the Bible? Why is it just called the Bible? It's called the book because if you want to know how good it is, if you want to know how deep it is, if you want to know how much help it can do for you, you've got to get in it yourself. They said, what is it called? They said, we don't know. We're just going to call it manna. Well, how does it taste? I can't tell you. You're just going to have to taste it yourself. You're going to have to get in it yourself. I can't do it for you. You know what your pastor is for? Your pastor is not to substitute your devotional time. He cannot study for you. He can't do the work for you. If you can't have enough discernment to do it yourself, you're missing it. If you want to know how good and how deep that Bible is, you need to get in it yourself. The church I pastor at, a lot of times they say, preacher, how in the world did you come up with that? How did you find that? Now, I want to be carnal and just say, I just came up with it. Don't know if it's true or not. I don't act real spiritual. Every preacher does that. I'm just telling you the secret. But no, a lot of times I said, no, I'm not lying. I said, I just got in the Word. God showed me this. And I said, what God showed me, He can show you if you get in that book. And I said, here's what you're going to notice. If you get in that book and I get in that book and we're both full of the Holy Ghost, we're going to come again with the same thing. We may not agree on every little minor thing, but those major things God is going to confirm in our hearts. Did you know that's the reason why churches can't get along and why there's no unity? Somebody ain't been getting in that book. I would, but I got to move on, brother. Amen. I'm saying to you, when you get in that book, there's going to be an agreement. Everybody agreed the manna was good and that they needed it. What you find here about this man, I understand. They said, man, in order for you to get into it, in order to understand it, you need to eat it yourself. They don't just go off and talk about it. It is there. But not only do you notice that there's the identification, notice there's the investigation. The Bible talks about there in verse number 31. We don't understand everything about the manna, but here's the best characteristics that God allowed to be in His book. Verse number 31, and the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like a coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers, made with honey. Now, y'all don't fall out with me. Don't throw a hymn book at me. But when I first read that, I thought that was talking about Krispy Kreme donuts. Now, hang on just a minute. It was round. It was small. It was sweet. And then it was white. It's got glaze all over it. I knew somebody would be with me on that. They're not going to admit it, though. Amen. Oh, preacher, that wasn't spiritual. Didn't have to be. Unless you eat it, then you get right with God. I looked at this, I said, well, I don't really know quite what this will be. So I came to the conclusion it wasn't Krispy Kreme donuts. I was just wrong on that one. But I can't figure out what it is. But here's what the Bible does say. It was like a coriander seed. It was white, and it was round. Now, I don't have enough time to deal with it being round and everything, and that it was small. But I want to mention this, the two things. It said it was like a seed. There's a lot of small round things, but the Bible concerns, the Holy Ghost said He calls it a seed. According to your Bible, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 23, He says, you were not born with corruptible seed, but you're born with an incorruptible seed by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. This Bible's a seed. Our Lord said in the book of Mark, He said that the seed is the Word of God. While you're preaching, when your pastor's preaching, he's throwing out the seeds. He's hoping it lands on good ground. And then you got Satan comes in, tries to distract your mind, and tries to put doubt in your mind. While the man of God is preaching, he's trying to snatch your seed away. Right. That's a seed. Here's a couple things to notice about a seed. A seed's got life in it. I'm glad I got a living book tonight. I'm glad it's living. I'm glad it's breathing. It'll bleed if you stab it. I've got a book tonight that is real and that has always been here. It is the most printed book in all the world. It was the first book to ever be printed. It is the only book without a copyright claim. I'm telling you, we have a majestic, wonderful, powerful book tonight. Hallelujah. Well, there's that seed. So if you want a church to grow, you need the seed. Just preach. You don't have to have a program. You don't have to have this, that, and the other. You don't have to go contemporary. You don't have to turn the lights out. You don't have to back off of the book. Get back in the book. Give them the whole seed so they could grow. I had a friend of mine who was a pastor in church, and he's independent, fundamental, old-fashioned, but he just got down and out and got depressed. People left the church. It wasn't growing like it was at one point. And it's okay if I move around a little bit. If I slobber on you, God will still forgive you for it. Amen. That's milk and honey from Canaan land right there. Amen. Well, I had a friend of mine. He was pastoring, and he got kind of just a little bit bitter. He got a little bit sad. And he said, "Preacher, I don't understand." He says, "I'm not a compromiser. I believe this Bible. I'll never back off of it. But I noticed that the contemporary churches down the road are running a lot more people than I am. There's more life in there that I've got." And he says, "I'm not talking about compromising, but something's got to change." I said, "Brother, let me just tell you this." I said, "Say you was on your way to work one morning, and there's a deer that's just been hit, and it's on the side of the road, and somebody was not smart enough to go and pick it up and take it home." I said, "Deer gets hit on the side of the road, it's dead." I said, "You go to work, whenever you get off work and come back, that deer is going to be slightly bigger than what it was before you left. But be not deceived. It's not growing, it's still dead. And it's going to swell a lot faster than it's ever going to grow. But one day that deer is going to pop, and when it does, you don't have to worry about social distancing. You'll get as far from it as you possibly can. Is that right? It's going to stink, and everybody's going to stay away from it." I said, "I would rather grow in a slow process, have something real, and have something that is living. I'd rather have the blessings of God. I'd rather God's hand be upon that than anything else." Where I'm pastoring at, understand, Middle Georgia is not like Tennessee. We are the only independent Baptist church in our county. You have to drive at least 30 minutes to get to the next independent Baptist church. That is no joke, no exaggeration. We've got maybe one Southern Baptist church in our county that uses the King James Bible. That's it. And so I grew up in a place where this was a mission field. We didn't have church splits. If they got mad, they just stayed home. There was no church splitting here or there. We didn't have that. And in the town where my dad pastors, much further south than South Georgia, he is the only independent Baptist church within an hour and a half radius. I mean, it is dry. And you're talking about trying to preach, trying to have meetings. It is like pulling teeth to get people to do anything. But one thing I'll never do is I don't want to ever compromise and get a crowd. Stand before God on judgment day and said, "Why did you do what you did?" I'd much rather just pastor a few. God has blessed. A few families joined the church since I've been there. God did a great and mighty work. I'm looking forward to seeing we have potential. God's been helping us. But I'm telling you, I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I'd rather do that with a small flock than with a whole mega church.
Amen.
Amen. God's been too good to me for me to compromise and go by the wayside. I don't want the church to swell. I want it to grow. Amen. Well, sign my own Bible on that one. Amen. Well, it's like a seed, but I want to say this. I want to get through this real quickly. It was white. Scripture talks about that color white. Now, white in your Bible always represents purity. It always represents cleanness in your Bible. In heaven, we'll be wearing white robes. The Bible says the Lord washed our garments white in the blood of the Lamb. The Bible says our sins shall be white as snow. White in the Bible always has something to do with being clean and being pure. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 5, he says, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." Your Bible's a pure book tonight. The manna was a perfect bread because it came from God. No issues in there whatsoever. Not one bit of it will make you sick, and every bit of it is for you. I'm glad I have a perfect book tonight. I'm glad that there is no errors in this book. God is able to preserve them. The Bible says, "Thou art able to preserve them forever and ever." The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 8, he said, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Matthew 24, 35, he said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Hallelujah. Thank God. I'm great. Hey, I praise God that his word lasts forever. It's a pure book. Secondly, I want you to know it's not the perfection of the manna. I'm almost done here. Not the perfection of the manna. I want you to know some of the partaking of the manna. The way that the manna is reminds me of the word of God. But how you eat the manna also reminds me of the word of God. The same way God told his nation to eat that bread is the same way God told you to read this book. I want you to notice a few things. You say, "Preacher, what do I do?" What do you do if you're in the wilderness and you're hungry and you need something from God? First of all, we find there's a searching. The scripture says that it fell on the ground and they had to go out and gather it together. The scripture says some more, some less. It was their responsibility to get something from God. By the way, you're going to get as close to God as you want to be. Nobody can make you get any closer to God than what you want to be. Well, preacher, I've got distractions. Preacher, I've got obligations. You will do whatever you want to do. If you want to show up on Wednesday, you'll show up on Wednesday. If you want to show up to prayer meeting, you'll show up to prayer meeting. Hey, listen, church ought to be your excuse to miss everything, not the other way around.
Amen.
Well, I'll say this, they go on, and Scripture says some of them make more, some of them make less. But either way, you had to get up from your tent, you had to get out of your comfort zone, you had to get up on your feet, and you had to go to where the man is at. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 5, verse 39, he told the Pharisees, he said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and many are they which do testify of me." Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, told the Pharisees, he said, if you want to understand what I'm talking about, search the Scriptures yourself instead of griping and complaining. If you want something from God, you better search for it. You're going to have to take the initiative. You're going to have to open that book. You're going to have to get into it yourself. Ain't nobody going to do it for you. There's a searching for the manna. You need to search for the word. But then also, not only is there the searching, there's the stooping to the manna. The manna fell on the ground. How convenient is that? They had, if it fell upon the ground, that means it's in a low place. Now, what that means is that in order for somebody to get down to the manna, in order for them to get something from God, in order to keep them from dying, they would have to get down on their knees. They'd have to get in the lowest spot possible, and they'd have to gather together unto the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse number 18, he says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." The Bible says the natural man understandeth not the things of God, receiveth not the things of God, because it is spiritual and he is carnal. You say, "Preacher, why am I not getting anything out of my Bible reading?" When was the last time that you got down on your knees before God, humble before the Lord, and say, "God, I need something from you today"? And if the psalmist said, "God, would you open your word?" What do you think we're going to have to pray? Amen. You're going to have to learn to get down upon your knees. If you want to gather that manna, you're going to have to get to a low place and say, "God, I need your word for today. God, I don't need man's words. I don't need the news. I don't need people around me. God, I need you to speak to my heart. God, if you don't speak to me, I'll never get fullness. I'll never be satisfied." And the Bible says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." When was the last time you got down before God and humbled yourself and asked God to help you? You'll get some out of the book. When you talk to the author of the book, you'll understand it better.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, by the way, that's why people don't stick with the King James Bible. They don't know the author, so they got to do another mixed version. They got to corrupt it. They have to take something out. They took the sword of the Lord. They chipped it off so much they made it into nothing but a folding pocket knife. Amen. I'm saying to you tonight, not only do you see there's the stooping, you need to get down to where God's at. There's the supping. You got to eat of it. It's got to get in on the inside. That's another word for meditation. The Bible tells us in there, Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8, he says, "Thou shalt meditate therein day and night." I'm glad that you can have all of it. I'm glad that Genesis is just as important as John is, and John is just as important as the book of Revelation is. I'm glad that, listen, I believe in dispensationalism, but I'm not a hyper-dispensationalist. I believe that all the God's word was not written to me, but thank God it was written for me, and everything can be applied to me, and I could get help in Leviticus. I could get help in Chronicles. I could get help in Acts. I can get help anywhere. It's all in God's word. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad I don't have to look at it and say, "Lord, does this apply to me?" Everything does. Now, I understand whatever God promises to Israel, that's a promise to Israel, but there's a promise God made to you and I too. Rightly divide the word of God and you'll have nothing to worry about. Amen. I'm saying to you that always there that supping. It means that it needs to get on the inside and you need to meditate on your Bible. Don't speed read through your Bible. Now, I think you ought to read through your Bible. I believe you ought to read from Genesis to Revelation. But understand, you don't have bragging rights just because you've read through your Bible so many times in a year. It don't mean a thing if you read it and you don't get anything out of it. You need to learn how to stop at a few verses, stop where God tells you to stop, and then there God bursts something in your heart. You need to meditate on it. When you get through eating that Longhorns and you've eaten that big old steak, you ain't going to get out and run a marathon. You're going to find a good, comfortable spot. You're going to sit down and reminisce on how good it is. I tell you, I like them studying. Listen here. You ever watch them cows? Now, I know we're Baptists. We know a few things about cows, don't we? Fortunately, some of us are stuck with a few heifers every now and then. Amen. Hey, I'm saying to you, you watch them cows, you watch them eating, and you watch them graze. And man, they begin to eat, and they eat all that grass. But you know what's going to eventually happen? They're going to leave that feed spot. They're going to run out there underneath the tree, and they're going to find a comfortable spot. They're going to regurgitate it. They're going to throw it back up. They're going to eat it again. Nastiest thing you'll ever see in your life. But you know what they're doing? They get twice as much nutrients that way. And you know how you're going to get really help from your preacher? When you go home and you take all the Word of God in, and you go home that night before you go to bed, go back and reread what the preacher said. Go back on the live stream again. Take up, say, man, that was so good. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to eat it again. And by the way, that's going to make it easy, even easier on Monday whenever you go to work and you go tell somebody how was church yesterday. It's going to be a lot easier to share the love of Christ and share the Bible because it's been all inside of you and you get to share it with somebody else. Pretty simple, ain't it? Just simply getting back to the book. Regurgitate it. Hey, meditate on it a while. But not only to say that he was supping with it, but also you need, there's not the supping, but then there's the supplying. How often does God give it to him? The Bible says there was fresh manna every day. For 6 days, God had given it to him, that on Sabbath day, it didn't come. So on the Sabbath day, before Sabbath came, they had to stock up for the next day because they need enough to get through the week. Can I say this? God has fresh bread for you every day. God's Bible is still fresh every day. Go back again. When you think you ain't got nothing from God, keep going back where you came from. God will still do something for you. There's something still there. But by the way, they needed extra on the weekends to get them through the week. Can I say this? This is the reason why you and I need church. We don't worship on Sabbath. We'll worship on Sunday. There's going to be a time in your life where you're not getting manna anymore. It's going to feel like the heavens have been shut up and it's been black and you've got nothing from God. That is not time to stay away from church. That is time when you need to sit down the front row and you need to get something from God and talk to the Lord. You know what you need to do while you come to church on Sunday? Because sitting at the house reading your Bible ain't enough. If it was enough, God would have never started a church. There'd never be revival. You would not have a pastor. But God gave you a pastor. He gave you a man of God because you need extra bread. You need extra manna to get you through the week.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I got so much liberty I could handle a rattlesnake right now. Hallelujah. Amen. We do things differently in Middle Georgia. Hallelujah. I'm saying to you, I'm glad that it's real. I'm glad that it's powerful and I'm glad it's sustainable. Understand this, they go on and man, they begin to eat of it, but it is fresh every day. And I'm glad every day of getting that book, it's fresh all over again. We notice this, not only is there fresh bread every day, I want to move along here. There is also, not only do we see there's a partaking of the manna. You need to get along with God, you need to meditate, you need to ask God to help you. But lastly, I want to talk about the purpose of the manna. Let me give these real quickly before we close. There's the purpose of the manna. On the perfection of the manna, I just want to tell you how majestic that book is. On the partaking of the manna, I just wanted to tell you how you take it in. But lastly, you say, preacher, that's good, but what is it going to do for me? What is that book going to affect my life? How does it go from black letters on a white page to apply to my heart and make a difference in my life? How's it going to change? Well, a few things that's going to happen. I want to say this, what the manna did for the nation of Israel, same thing it's going to do for you and I. First of all, I want to say this manna was sweet to the taste. Verse 31, it was tasted like honey. There ain't nothing sweeter than honey, is there? He says it was likened unto that. Now, what that means is that they enjoyed that manna. They kept going back because they loved it. You know what a saved person will do? A saved person will have a desire to get in that book, and he'll keep going back. He won't quit. He won't treat it like dessert. He'll try to have it all the time because there was a desire in his heart when he got saved. There is a hunger there.
Amen.
Is that right? God put a hunger in my heart when he got saved. He done it when you, whenever you got saved. That's not going to change. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. And so it was sweet to the taste. God could have gave them something bitter. God could have gave them something bland. But God reserved his best. God gave them angels' food. God gave them something from heaven to help them where they're at. I'm glad that God gave us something wonderful. God gave us a sweet book. Yes, it might hurt sometimes. Yes, it might turn your mouth inside out because of your sin. But I'm grateful it is a sweet book. It's about Christ. Christ is sweet. And so if Christ is in that book, then God is sweet. Amen.
Amen.
It's a sweet book. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And in the book of Revelation, there's John. He got down there, I believe it was Revelation chapter 10. He got down there, and the Bible says that he rolled up the Word of God, and the Bible says that he ate of it. He said to eat of the book. He ate of that scroll. He ate of the Word of God. And the Bible says it was sweet to his mouth, but man, it was bitter in his stomach. And what happened was, when it went through his mouth, it tasted good. He enjoyed that, but as it began to meditate, it got bitter. In your Bible, cleansing from sin, bitterness sometimes means a mourning or an issue. What happens is, when John first took it in, he enjoyed it. But as it got in, John realized how unholy that is and how unworthy that he is. By the way, the people that think they're okay with God are always the ones that never get in. But the closer you get to God, the more dirty you realize that you are. And you realize how holy that he is. And you'll draw closer unto him. I'm telling you, you and I are wicked without God. Amen. Well, he ate of it. John says, man, it's sweet. Ezekiel ate of it. And the prophecies, the Lord says, roll up the scroll and eat it. It's in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel ate it and he said, it was sweet to my mouth. You know what Ezekiel said? He said, the Old Testament sure does taste good. And John said in Revelation, he says, that New Testament's even better. The New Testament seemed better because it's got the Lord in it. It's got His grace. No more law. There was nothing but goodness of the Lord. I'm saying this Bible is a sweet book. You got Ezekiel and you got John telling you this is a sweet book. If they said it, that's enough for me. Yeah. Amen. You say, what does John know? He leaned upon the breast of Christ. I'm pretty sure he knew the author pretty well. Amen. I'm saying this is a sweet book. Not only is it sweet to the taste, you'll enjoy it. You'll never go to that Bible and never regret it. I pastor a church. I preach 3 times a week. Sometimes I preach Sunday school. That just depends. I've never gotten in that book and came out and was depressed. God always did something from my heart, and it would amaze me at what God would show me. And you tell me, preacher, do you believe in miracles? I have to have a miracle 3 times a week or I'm going to be in a deep pickle. If God don't give it to me, it just ain't going to get done. But I'm glad only 1.5 years in pastoring, and I've never had to struggle for something. There were times where I said, God, I don't know what to give them. I've been in the book, but I don't have anything. But God, in His timing, always had something. And when I got up and preached, and I thought, man, that ain't going to help nobody. Somebody come up and say, preacher, you have no idea. That's God. Man can't plan that. I don't mean to step on your toes. I'm trying to aim for your heart tonight. I'm saying to you, you need the Word of God. Well, it is sweet to the taste. It's sanctified for temptation. Verse number 3, we'll have time to get into this. Verse number 3, they said, man, and they said, Moses, you have starved us out here, out in Egypt. We had the leeks and the onions. We had the flesh pots. He says, now you've brought us out here to be hungry. Here's what happened. They got hungry for something, and what they hungered for was not the right thing. And what happened was, they remembered what it was like before they got saved, before they got brought out. So there was a void there. They thought they could fill it with what they used to have. But what they used to have never satisfied them. They still murmured, complained, and they were empty. And here's what will happen. Here's why people go into sin. You don't fall into sin. You drift into sin. When you don't get in that Word, you don't have something clean and pure inside of you. You'll begin to desire the things which will destroy you and kill you. And you'll desire things that you used to before you got saved. But see, whenever you get saved, there's a new hunger in your heart. And here's what God does. You just get in that book whenever you're hungry for something and you need something. You just get in that book and God will begin to fill that void in your heart. And you're not going to look at the things of the world ever again. If you're looking for something to satisfy you, don't look ever to the devil or to the world. Listen, they may satisfy, they may make you happy. But the Bible says sin is pleasurable but for a season. It's going to end. But I've got something that'll last you forever. Amen. And so here's what they were talking about how good Egypt was. Egypt was not good. They were slaves there. But see, Satan put a lie in their mind because of that. But here's all it took. God just had to give them a little bit of bread from heaven, and they never talked about Egypt ever again. They don't talk about the flesh pots ever again. They don't talk about the leeks and onions. I know in Numbers chapter number 11 that they got a little bit tired about the manna, and they're complaining all we've got is manna. But if they'd have just fallen in love with the Lord and been satisfied with what God gave them, they would have never looked at Egypt again. Y'all see the picture of that? They don't think about Egypt. They don't think about what they used to do. They just think about what lies ahead because of that book. They no longer thought about Egypt, but they thought about Canaan land. And whenever you fill your mind with the things of the Word of God and you fill your heart up with the Word of God, what will happen is you won't desire the world, you'll desire heaven.
Amen.
You won't desire the sinners, you'll desire the saints. Right. You won't desire, listen, you won't desire the sin, you'll desire the Savior. Yes, if you get in that book,
amen.
It'll satisfy you. Psalm 119, verse number 9, he says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. John 15:3, Jesus said, now ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. You're only going to be clean through that book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. And he said he might sanctify and cleanse it with the water, washing of water by the Spirit. We've got a clean book. Lastly, not only is it sanctifier for temptation, I want to say this, it was sufficient for the trip. It lasted, in verse 35, it says, it lasted them from the wilderness all the way into Canaan. This Bible will take us home one of these days. Amen. That's all that we're going to need on this side. But then it was also salvation for a troubled soul. In verse number 6, the Lord made the statement. He says, I'm going to show the people of Israel that I brought them out of Egypt. You know what happened? They really doubted God. If God was the one that really saved them, they began. Have you ever doubted your salvation tonight? Now I know people want to be spiritual and say, if you ever doubted it, you never had it. The problem is they ain't found that in the Bible. Is that right? A lot of preachers preach people into doubt. No wonder they're getting saved 5 times. I thought we was Baptists. You know what happens in your life whenever you lose that word? There's some doubt that'll creep up in your mind. It happened to John the Baptist. It'll happen to you. And you begin to creep in your mind. But in verse number 6, God says, I'm going to give them this bread. They're going to know that I brought them out of Egypt. You don't know how to get over your doubt, how to get over your worries. You don't know how to be saved by the grace of God. It's going to be through that book. If it was not for this book, you would not know about Jesus. If it was not for this book, you'd not know about heaven. If it wasn't for this book, you would not know about the Lamb of God. If it was not for this book, you'd not know about hell. If you did not know this book, you would not know about the blessed hope. I'm telling you, thank God for the book.
Amen.
We could have been born in China. We could have been born in Russia. We can't have a Bible. But God gave us a nation that can freely have this book. And many of us have 4, 5, 6, or 7 at the house. God has been good to us. Amen. I'm grateful. Whatever need that you've got, this Bible will satisfy the need of your heart. Let's all stand together, with head bowed, eyes closed. Our sister's going to come play piano softly. Brother Riley's going to come take over just a second. Let's all pray together. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you tonight for the word of God. Lord, thank you for how you've spoken to our hearts. Lord, tonight I pray, God, this message made sense. Lord, I pray that you'd apply it to your people. Lord, I pray, God, if there's those, Lord, that's not been in the word for a while, God, I pray they'd rededicate themselves. Lord, God, I pray that we would give ourselves continually to the word of God. Lord, we need revival. We need a move of God in these days. Lord, you said you exalted your word above your name. God, I pray, Lord, tonight that we do business with you. Oh, God, tonight would you speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You mind the Lord tonight? If we'd be honest, every one of us needs to get in that book better than we are now. Why don't you come talk to the Lord about it? You say, preacher, I just don't understand. Why don't you come talk to the author of the book? Preacher, you just don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't, but there's a God that does. Why don't you come and talk to him? You are here tonight for God's divine purpose. Whatever you need tonight, this Bible is going to fulfill it. This Bible is going to last us all the way to heaven. We might as well go ahead and get into it now. Let's enjoy it now while we still can. You mind the Lord tonight.